Mr. Dean, anything to add to this dialogue?
Certainly.
So, Board of Regain Community Development Director. First of all, regarding the memo that was put out by the county, I could bring attention to a typo that occurred on page 11 and 12. I was pointing out to you earlier this morning. Those samples were taken in January of 2024, which it says in the ledger up top. However, on the data piece of it, to the left of the margin, it says January of 23. I took those samples personally, and they were taken post-dam. So, after clarification.
Okay.
Aside from that, I'd just like to speak briefly about the sampling that we took the county. And I'm glad to hear that we'll be working with KRC to try to fill some gaps, because the heavy metals that we sampled for were, you know, more intact than the studies that RES did in 23 prior to dam removal. Namely, they did not sample for arsenic, lead, or iron, which we did, and all of those conditions were somewhat elevated. One thing that I would like to point out, and maybe refer to Mr. St. John's about too, also, the aluminum that was determined to be the most constituent of concern within, you know, the bore samples done up in the reservoir. And the levels there were like 0.087. Once mobilized for the sediment, at least the grab sample that we had was 59 milligrams per liter. And it's my understanding that probably at those levels, it's a skin irritant when it comes in contact. Mr. St. John might have a better indication of what that level is for skin irritation when it kicks in exactly. But that's about a 60-fold increase in mobilization of aluminum. The arsenic, the lead, and the iron that were not tested for by RES, I don't have a good comparison to see, you know, how that was affected by mobilization of the moon and the distribution of the sediments. So just wanted to point that out. Look forward to working with KRC to do a more detailed review and over time monitor the river constituents with the heavy metals. Also, I'll note that the Vault organic compounds that we sampled for that were identical basically to what was analyzed from the sediments in the reservoir were basically not detected. They were below drinking water standards.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Dean? Thank you, sir. I'm going to go to a public comment. I have three in-house. Angelina Cook, you're first. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Angelina Cook. I've lived in Siskiyou County for about 20 years, and I work with the California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance. We represent millions of California's families that have been raised fishing in California's rivers and coastal communities, but our work also benefits tribes and commercial fishermen who are experiencing devastating consequences from the increasing risk of salmon extinction. I want to thank you for holding these special meetings on a regular basis. I think it's given people a chance to air their concerns and also learn about this process. As everyone knows, this is a huge turning point for Siskiyou County, and the world is watching to see how we navigate these challenges of dam removal, to see if we can actually make a dent towards salmon recovery. The damage to personal property is obviously a big priority. It needs to be addressed, and it sounds like it is for the most part, but the environmental damage that we are experiencing has been accumulating for 85 years when the valley floor was inundated and reservoirs formed and river temperatures rose and habitat for anadromous fish was blocked. The river and surrounding banks are going to need time to heal. There's just no way around that. So I encourage us to be patient and cooperative and respectful of the many interests that are invested in the success of this project. I think that because impacts that we are experiencing were anticipated and are being addressed, it seems to me that an emergency proclamation would not be appropriate. But I encourage you to continue engaging the experts and referring impacted individuals to assistance. So in general, I don't support a proclamation, but I do support your attention to detail around this issue. Thank you.
Barbara Austin?
Not here.
Not here.
Can you press? I don't see the time up there. Is that not working?
It's me. I have an important.
It's not connected to
mine. Oh, okay, gotcha. William Simpson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members, again. So, start out, my name is William Simpson.
Thank you.
I'm a rancher up on Irrigate. To start out, I do support the board in proclaiming a state of emergency. And the reasons being, we need to err on the side of the citizens. There's a lot of things going wrong. There's a lot of unintended consequences here. There's a lot of hand-waving about what's going on and excuses and so forth. We can't err in a way that may harm the potential of the health of the citizens in this county. I mean, the people up and down this river are exposed to what's in that river. The remaining sediments are, according to the engineers who have looked at it, I'm not making this up as I'm going along, I'm reading the two key reports. There's about 15 million cubic yards of sediment remaining in the lake bottom. You just heard our Ag Commissioner Jim Smith tell you, planting it is probably not going to secure it. Even if it's planted, we've all seen the big floods. We've been here. I grew up here. 64 flood. It moves people's boulders, barns, trees down the river. That canyon will be scoured. That sediment, regardless of what they put there, even if it's 100% successful, will go down the river. And what will 15 million cubic yards do? We've just seen what 5 does. So we can't afford to let that happen. By declaring an emergency, whether or not we get funded, we're going to bring it to the attention of the state of California and the governor. If we don't declare, we have zero chance of getting any money. Even if we have a 5% chance of getting some money by declaring the emergency, that's infinitely better than zero. So we need to reach out to the state with this declaration, and we need to let the governor know we have a problem. You know, Houston, we have a problem. It's time to do it now. And the citizens are looking to this board to help us out and get this declaration up to Gavin Newsom's desk. The governor needs to know how we feel. And this is the only way to really do it. More talk back and forth, more meetings, more people with design studies, more manipulating of data. That's not going to get us where we need to be. We need this declaration. We need it today. Thank you.
Greg Cheater.
I believe you so.
Love that. Okay. Chrissy Reynolds.
Chrissy Reynolds, Cocoa Lake. So this is from last night, about 10 o'clock after we put the monitors in. This is at the site closest to the dam. It's measuring 132 in the red. This is what the reservoir looks like even after the rains that we've just had. The dry cracked. Some of these are like maybe 36 inches deep, about that wide. We're not really allowed to walk over there because we, in every letter that we get from our good neighbors from the KRRC, we're threatened with trespass and being reported to the sheriff's office. So by asking for a state of emergency, because for us it is, with all due respect to the people that are in charge of this permitting and this process, they don't live here, okay? Today's our wedding anniversary, and I haven't had time, honestly. I haven't had time to even think about that, or my daughter's 16th birthday, or Easter, or anything, because for the last, well, I don't know, since January 23rd, and for the record, it's 10 deer. Okay, the first two deer were killed on January 27th. I know because I was there. I heard the shots. I documented it. I took the pictures. It was eight deer on the 29th. I know because I was there. I had to tell my neighbors what was going on. I have not had proper sleep, proper rest, and we don't qualify for anything. Phil and I don't qualify really for anything through the mitigation because we're not on a steep slope, we're not on a well, but there's nobody else in our community. I think sometimes people forget in a city, you know, because there's already somebody to call. You can call that person, you can call that agency, you can call that expert. But when you live where we lived, they call us, they call me, because there's no one else. We have people that don't have technology, would like to know information. We haven't been unreasonable in what we've been asking for. This is just basic information. Where are you doing these sediment samplings? Where are you doing the water sampling? Are you doing it above us? Are you doing it right here for us? What are the impacts to the dust? We cannot get answers. Everything that we have asked gets kicked down the road, and with assurances that we'll get right back to you, we'll get right on that. We're still waiting on signs, we're waiting on air quality, we're waiting on lab tests, we're waiting on money we don't have.
Thank you. Holly? And then I'll go to online after this one.
Hello. Thank you, Supervisor Board. This is Holly Hansard, and I urge you to err, if you err, on the side of declaring this emergency. We have suffered an extreme loss, a loss. It's a devastation, and it is shocking, and the full extent of the emergency hasn't really, you know, come to the surface, but we need a victory. We need a little bit of love. We need a lot of love. And this isn't just like flowers or little seeds planted by helicopter or by hand or a little, you know, memorial tree. This is a statement that we need, this tiny voice from you guys. Just this little victory today of you saying, yes, this is an emergency. You could think down the road of what this air quality guy is going to do when he gets a $20,000, $20 million Hubbard equipment all over the place, but that's not going to happen anytime soon if it ever happens. And the analysis, but right now what we see is a disaster. It's an emergency. When I saw my house burn down in 2014, that was my individual house, but the governor, you know, we were declared a federal disaster with the weed, you know, the city of Weed when the Bulls fire happened. Well, we look at these individual houses and homes and wells and we think, oh, this is bad. But overall, this is no less than what the Bulls fire did of 2014 and what the other fires did and may continue to do, and probably will, God forbid, at Paco Lake. But let's have a voice, a vote for the people. That's who you represent. Thank you so much for representing us. And all these official people and all these people from all these government offices and all NOAA and all this, they're all, you know, these academics who can speak perfectly. But as Chrissy last said, a lot of us don't have the technology. I emotionally can barely look at stuff online. And that's emotional, but technical, I'm getting a little bit better, but there's people who just don't have it or don't have the reception. So we need stuff in print, and with your voice, please. Use your voice and your position in your seats right now to vote for the people. I, as a person, and we, the people of the Kaka Lake community, who one day may be our own city, and vote for this, which is before you today. Thank you very much.
Battery 100%. Amber, is your turn to speak?
Hi there, my name is Amber Jamison, and I live in Soames Bar along the Klamath River. Our family owns a rafting company that operates on the Klamath River. And I request that you do not declare a state of emergency for dam removal. I feel like emergencies are for unforeseen impacts to people, for the loss of life or property that was unforeseen. And, you know, I feel like we've known that these impacts were coming for decades, at least a decade that we've been working on actually, you know, passing and doing the dam removal. And I feel that, you know, this would be kind of like crying wolf by asking for a state of emergency when there, you know, nobody has their drinking waters impacted, nobody's swimming in, you know, toxins. Like, all of this has been foreseen, so I ask that you do not pass this declaration. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Caller ending in 1662, it is your turn to speak.
Hi, my name is Scott Harding. I'm a resident of Sitchin County. I've lived there for many years and recreate frequently on the Klamath River. I also work for an organization called American Whitewater, and we represent the broad interest of people across the country and here in Sitchin County who also like to recreate and enjoy our whitewater rivers. We're really blessed with some fine ones here, the Klamath among them, and it has suffered from water quality problems for years and years with the toxic algae pollution coming out of the reservoirs caused by the dams up there, and it is having some water quality issues now as the reservoirs are being flushed, no doubt. As Matt St. John from the Water Board made really clear, the data that's been collected by the county, it represents a snapshot in time taken during a period during the peak turbidity, soon after the reservoirs began draining. If you look at the river right now, visually even, it's quite different than it was when the samples were taken. And you know, you're going to find different water quality results because of that. Go back and do future testing. As Mr. St. John made clear too, the Water Board and Cal EPA have assessed the county's data and looked at the current conditions and have come to the conclusion that the water quality does not impact public health. So be it as it may, the river may be brown, there may be elevated levels of certain constituents in it. It is not harmful to public health. However, declaring a state of emergency based on that data is harmful to the county. As Amber just mentioned, we have a number of local businesses that run whitewater outfitting and fishing guiding trips on the Klamath. And declaring a state of emergency is saying to the world, don't come to Siskiyou County for the Klamath River. You'll see a decrease in tourism, decrease in travel, fewer bookings in the motels, hotels, camping areas, and particularly for the companies that work on the river directly. So I don't think you're going to see any additional funding come from declaring a state of emergency. The state is unlikely to declare one in return. We've heard discussion about the different possibilities of funding streams here and there. I haven't heard anything that links up the declaration of a local state of emergency with assurance of additional funding. And understand, it's okay to register residents' opinion on dam removal. And in this county, many people do not support the dam removal, but causing additional economic harm by declaring a local state of emergency is really counter to the interests of the people of this county, and I hope that you will not do that. So please do not declare a state of emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Caller ending in 0126, it is your turn to speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's not great internet where I live downriver. First of all, I wanted to thank you for having this meeting today.
Could you state your name, please?
I'm Regina Chicazola.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was about to do. I'm Regina Chicazola. I'm a Downriver resident of Orleans, California, and former resident of Happy Camp, California. And I just wanted to ask you to not declare a state of emergency. I think it will really, really sorry. I think it will really harm our Downriver communities. And I think it will also hurt future state of emergencies. As you know, we've had some really impactful and scary fires over the last few years. We've had toxic algae blooms almost every year. We've had fish kills. This is a county that has a lot of emergencies. And water quality at times has been a state of emergency, as has air quality, but that is not now. The river is getting cleaner. Downriver, you can see the color changing every day. I believe by the time it's time for recreation to be here, and it's time for us to get in the river, the water will be much cleaner. And by declaring a state of emergency, you're going to scare business away from the river. You're going to scare our rafting community, and you're going to hurt our economics. And I understand people around Kapko Lake are upset, and I understand they're upset. Things look really different there. But dam removal is not creating an emergency. There's a lot of water quality impacts. I hope we can work on them together. I hope we can work on the water quality impacts in other places together. Downriver communities really care about the rivers. We're rooted here. We fish here. Fishing is shut down here. And the restoration of this river is going to allow people to start fishing again in the ocean and downriver. It's going to allow us to start rafting all year again, including in August, where we're usually shut down for toxic algae blooms. You know, the recovery doesn't happen overnight, but we need to be able to declare emergencies when we really need them. And that's when fires are burning our towns down, and when there are actual real emergencies that is impacting everyone in this county, and not just because some landowners are upset. I'm sorry that they are, but this is not an emergency, so please don't declare an emergency. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Next.
Ending in 7224
is your turn to speak. Can you speak up a bit? We're having trouble hearing you.
I love you guys.
Okay. We'll go to in-house. Sarah Jackson. I have one more. This will be the last public comment for today, but go ahead. Not you. There's one more after you.
Hi, thank you. My husband and I also have a business.
Your name, please.
Oh, Sarah Jackson.
Thank you.
Montague. My husband and I also have a business on the Klamath River. And in the last three or four years, the fishing on the Klamath River has been better than it has, his fishing guide, has been better than it has in years. And this has affected our business, along with, we have many, many friends who are fishing guides. And this also, with the way the river is now, we will have zero income coming from this river for years to come. My husband is 70 years old. He's been fishing that river since he was 6. So when you take into account people that will be losing income, we will be losing income. And I beg you to declare state of emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. Charlene Walden.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Charlene Walden from Iron Gate. My husband and I are on the board of the Association for Iron Gate. I was hoping I wouldn't have to come up, but the fish kill thing just keeps coming up and coming up, and the blue-green algae being toxic. So back when they had the fish kill, 0203, 33,000 fish. I brought it up to Jim DeCray here in Siskiyou County to reopen the case, which he did. And so you have it on record somewhere in your archives. There was a chemical dump, meth lab, on one of the subsidiaries that killed those fish. They were blistered and bleeding when they hit the fish nets. That does not happen from blue-green algae or temperature. So that being said, they said it took 12 days to test the fish and the water, which is supposed to be done within 24 hours. So big mistake somewhere. And then the algae. So being a business owner in Klamath Falls, we fight the algae in swimming pools constantly. We kill the phosphates in the water, which is what the blue-green algae needs, phosphates and the nitrates in our water. Comes out of our groundwater naturally. Has always, always will. They say we're going to get rid of these blooms, but you're never going to get rid of them. They're always going to be up in the Klamath Basin. They're in cow ponds out in the fields. You get algae growing, you have nitrates and phosphates in the water. We test it at our shop all the time and in turn help their swimming pools, which is not drinking water or the river, but I just wanted to bring it out because it kept irritating me that the fish kill would get brought up and the blue-green algae being toxic, and there's never in the records I have ever researched in 20 years been a person that died or an animal that died from the blue-green algae. Now, you can inhale it. Yeah, you would have issues or different things, but they make pills out of it. And so there's, you know, nutritional things. So I did like 500 opinion polls in Siskiyou County on the river, on the lake, here at Walmart. People used to take rakes, these women, and get the algae out of their way and make Kool-Aid out of Iron Gate water. My children and I did the CDC test there, where we swam during the high bloom. We're a windy day. They did our blood test. They did the swabs, and we all came out okay. So, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and I support it. The declaration.
I'll bring it. I'm going to close public comment. Miss Wendy, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead. Enter the email.
Yeah, I wanted to mention we've received emails here at the board did, as well as the clerk's office received emails in support, it looks like, of the resolution and the declaration from Jerry Batch-Galupi, Pete Marino, and Don and Sheila Meamber. And an email from, who was this from? Scott Harding, in opposition to the declaration. And I do have copies there if the board wants to see them, as well as out here.
All right. So this is a staff question. I'm going to come to the board next. But who was taking, we've heard a lot about the water quality of dams in. Who was taking or monitoring or doing sampling on the existing dams that were there with water quality?
So as part of the development of the definite plan and
I'm talking prior to the project itself.
I do not have an answer to that.
Okay. Because it sounds as though there's data out there, and I'm just curious as to who was monitoring that. Because I don't think the only time the county did is when it was posted and we went up there. I remember Ms. Barber was here, and we did the testing that the lady just described.
Could I just ask? Yeah. You know, I vaguely, and I want to know one way or another, did we ever declare something regarding the bloom?
We found no evidence, right?
Correct, yeah. I don't know all the details on that.
I just think that's good background information, because that keeps getting brought up.
I know.
Rick King, Community Development Director. At the time, Jerry Barber was the Director of Environmental Health. We did an extensive study of Iron Gate Lake and Blue Kapu also for blue-green algae, which is not an algae. It's a cyanobacteria. And there are different types of cyanobacteria. There's one specific type of cyanobacteria, which I forget the name of right now, forgive me, that is toxic. The sampling that was conducted in Iron Gate and Copco did not have that specific type of cyanobacteria in it.
Did we do regular testing of the water at all?
Currently, no. The State Water Board has a website where they do testing.
Okay.
But, and you can go there and see that. And they're testing in Klamath Lake all the time. The last reports I received throughout the year have all been negative.
Okay, thank you. Anything further, Ms. Anderson?
Yes, I did want to follow up. I just spoke with our project manager, Chelsea Murphy, and Pacific Core, through their water quality permit, would have had certain requirements that may have included testing. We don't know what those parameters were, but we can, okay, we can look into those.
Thank you. Supervisor Hout, do you want to start?
Sure. Long day. I guess I have a question. I keep hearing that declaration is going to impose onerous things on the rafting business. Maybe the council, if I got her attention, we already have an advisory in place. What would a declaration do that's more onerous on business than a current advisory, if anything?
Natalie Reed, County Council. I mean, emergency declarations are generally to seek assistance from the state to, if you need to have orders issued from the board to address the emergency. I don't usually think of them as being directed at businesses. Perhaps, Brian, have you seen emergency declarations
I guess what I'm looking for is there any mechanism that we would impose restrictions on business because of it?
The board does have certain emergency powers that emerge, but I haven't heard anything from the board indicating that
we were
going to issue any
certainly wouldn't be
orders
my,
or curfews.
Wouldn't be my desire.
Brian Schneider, Director of Emergency Services. Yes, correct on that. The state of emergency can be addressed and defined what the board wishes as a local state of emergency. If you want an area closed off, that would be done in the state of emergency. If you want an area, I mean, that's really what it is, an emergency and set forth by the board or the writer.
But we're not looking at any area closures today or anything like that.
Negative, there's nothing written.
Okay. Thank you. I want to address a comment I keep hearing and it's an assumption. I was taught a long time ago in natural resource science that when you assume something, it makes an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think to say that there would and could not be an effect on a well adjacent to the river is quite an ignorant comment. It ignores the well-documented scientific geology of what's called the Klamath Knot, and the rivers traversing through that, and the complex geologies that water interfaces. I mean, we have everything from sand to heavy clays, and their chemical properties all interact with water differently and the contaminants within them. Some move quickly, some don't move at all. So just make a general assumption, I think, is quite an ignorant statement to make. And it gets at why I think we should be doing what we're doing. You know, thank God we don't have contamination, and thank God we're not drinking this water. Thank God we don't have to, and thank God it doesn't cross some of those tests. However, I want the attention put on this and the monitoring in place to make sure it doesn't cross that threshold, because the last thing I want to do is be caught with my pants down and somebody, God forbid, get hurt or injured, because that is my primary purpose of being in this seat, is the protection of the public health and welfare. And I think this is just, I don't get it. I don't get all the back and forth and everything else, truthfully, because this is just a practical step from my perspective in being proactive in monitoring this project and making it transparent. Don't you want to know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I do.
Exactly.
You know, I don't understand why so many against it are so afraid of the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, I sat here for forever today and heard the same thing I heard last week.
Yes, sir.
I haven't changed my mind.
Supervisor Christie. Yes. Thank you for adding the air quality to it in this important part. The water quality testing is, as Supervisor Hopp brought up, the groundwater testing in part of this proclamation. I think it's important to have those things included in on it and directly listed out where they can show what our concerns are and set that marker along the lines of trust but verify. So we need to share Supervisor Hopp's hopefulness that nothing's been showing here, but we need to have these tests to put in place. So like I said, I'm glad the water testing's been added to it, the air quality's been added to it, and the groundwater testing has been added to it. So great job, guys.
Thank you.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. One of the things that I think that, for me, I've been involved with this, along with Supervisor Cobbstaff, from, I won't say the beginning, but when the process started, and I would remind the people out there that, and I certainly feel for where you're at and what, how it's impacting you. This board has fought this a whole way, and we've spent, as Supervisor Cobbstaff mentioned before, millions of dollars fighting this. Whatever happens today, the fact that I don't support an emergency declaration, I don't have the data to support it. And what I mean by that is that we've tested once. We need to continue. And we just put up the air monitors. And I think that there's, what I've heard from people that would be on the pro side of it, you know, whether it's KRC, the things that they are doing, they're willing to do and step up. I've long said that the one of the problems that we've had is lack of communication across multiple entities. This is a massive, complex issue regarding all kinds of entities. And so with how you have to really realize that we, you know, I'm just a non-educated telephone lineman. We talk about water, which is, goes across this whole county, that we're still trying to learn, and we learn all the time. Just when I hear something about a well, that it isn't connected to the river because it flows the other way. So how does it, you know, and I see a bill for the testing of a well. I don't see the data that says what it was. I don't see massive amounts of, quote-unquote, data that says it's toxic, it's impacting the wells, things are happening. I mean, again, the initial impact, I get that. I think they were intended. This was studied well. This didn't happen in a vacuum. It happened 10 years plus before I got started on this board. And so at this moment in time, it's not that I don't support you folks. You know, I keep asking for questions. It was my idea to bring a project manager on. It was my idea to have air monitoring out here. It was my idea to have the special meetings here so we can spend all day getting more questions and having to get more answers that's going to be ongoing. Whatever happens, and I've said this, after everything's said and done, you're going to be there, and we're going to still be here trying to figure this out.
Supervisor Ogren.
We're here to support you. We're here to protect you. One of the things about an emergency declaration is that it doesn't have to last forever. We're going to monitor this. We're going to review it every 60 days. Doesn't have to last forever. As things progress, we can stop it. So if at the end of the summer things are looking wonderful, we don't have to keep it going. So all this talk about short term, this is not necessarily a long term item either. So that's one thing that we do have control over. We don't have a lot of control over a lot of things, but this is one thing we do have control over. So with this, it gives us power to give you more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us more knowledge.
Amen.
It gives us a chance to have more information and more communication with the state and other agencies. It gives us a chance to get as much information out to you that we possibly can. And that's our goal.
I guess I'm going to ask, we're not asking for funding in this mechanism of proclamation. I think it's a request of assistance to do monitoring, period. And we're identifying why.
Correct.
I think this is a proactive move for those that think this is foolish. I would say it was foolish for everybody that has indicated that they saw this coming and didn't prepare for what we're hearing today. That was foolish. I'll leave it at that. This proclamation is to get attention from the state of California and hopefully somewhere in the federal agencies that this should have been a no-brainer. This should have been done without anybody asking for it, just to provide assurance to the community that it was going to affect. Yes, long term, this might be the best thing for salmon recovery that anybody's ever seen. But in the short term, those that are in charge should be looking and monitoring to protect the citizens that it affects directly. Because we did not ask for it. We are trying to live with it, and we're trying to live with it in a way that actually provides data to us that we don't have to wait until something tragic, more tragic happens, and then it's a little bit too late. So with that, I'll bring it back to the board for wherever the board would like to go.
Just one additional comment.
Sure, Supervisor Chris.
So you're going to hear these comments. How's the state going to view this? How are the feds going to view this? Are they going to, is this going to burn a bridge for the federal agency or a state agency? And what I'll bring out in regards to this is I volunteer on the fire department and the ambulance crew. It doesn't matter who you respond to, you do your job.
That's right.
So if they're a little upset with us that we passed the declaration, get over it. Work with the people, deliver the best services you possibly can, and do those sorts of things. So that's the most emotional thing I'll say today. Usually I'm relatively calm.
I just want one follow-up comment. You know, this is getting scrutinized. I will tell you, I read enough articles, New York Times, LA Times. This is getting plenty of a light spotlight on this. And I have no doubt the state is following this just by the response from whatever department, because they are following this. So, I just question that, what this is going to buy us. It's not going to buy us any more scrutiny. We got scrutiny.
I would just say that, yes, it's been in a dialogue with some state agencies, and as we've heard today from the KRRC and upping their monitoring, I think those are all positive things moving in the right direction. But I think that it's taken this proclamation just to get that off the dime. I don't know how else to say that. So I think that there's hopefully benefit that we've raised the flag, that we need assistance on ongoing monitoring so that we can alleviate. If there's no problem, we welcome that. And I think that through Mr. Dean's department and working together with the KRRC, what that will provide, hopefully the sooner you know information about how that's going to transpire and bring it to a board meeting during public comment, the better. Because if we can alleviate the concerns that have been risen, then all is good, and I'll leave it at that. So I'm looking for action from the board. Yes?
So one more comment. One thing we have happen often up here is targets get on our back. If you say something, you quote something, you do that, you have comments come onto your back. And I realize there's a colleague here that may have a target on come on his back. He did advocate for the project manager, and I can tell you that in the community of Tula Lake, they had refuge issues as well as water issues over there. And that colleague called up the district manager in Tula Lake and said, tell me what you need. I'm talking to the governor's office. So he represents us. So we have votes, but take those targets off our back. We're trying to do the best we can.
I make that recommended motion.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
I have a second.
Can we include in that we're actually adopting the resolution? I don't believe the recommended motion says that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I guess I'll concur.
All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Unfortunately, no.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Thank you, Board.